Two words. Thank you. Two very simple words that can reflect tremendous meaning and significance. There are also two words that, when they are absent, also reflect tremendous meaning and significance. You know, sometimes you see people who are not very thankful. They're not grateful. They do not express thanks, even when they are blessed in so many ways. So there are those who really never truly say thank you. I mean, they might say it with words, but their hearts are not truly grateful. We would say that these are thankless people. And when you see someone who is not thankful, if they are ungrateful, we would also have to pair that up with the fact that their character matches that sort of attitude. It's someone who's typically inconsiderate, selfish, self-absorbed, who acts entitled, who thinks that everything is due to them. You know, I've actually confronted some people over the fact that they don't even say thank you. And I asked them, how come you don't say thank you over even simple things? And I've heard people try to justify why they don't have to say thank you. Some people say, well, I'm not sure if I can really trust the motives of what someone's doing. I was like, that's interesting. When were you made God to trust to determine the motives and intentions of someone's heart? That's tremendously presumptuous to think that somehow you would know the thoughts and intentions of someone's heart. Now, for sure, there are people who are not very kind, who maybe have bad motives. There are people who maybe try to win you over by bribing you. You know, sometimes people do that kind of thing. Okay, that's true. But let's first start with you. Are you a thankful person? And do you actually express thanksgiving? Now, if you look at God's word, this is actually not an option. This is not something that's just a suggestion. We are actually commanded to be thankful. And if we are not thankful, that means we are sinning because we're breaking a command of God. Jerry Bridges, in his book titled Respectable Sins, lists unthankfulness as such a sin. It's one of those sins that we don't take too seriously. You know, it's not on par with murder or rape or, you know, those big picture sort of, or those big ticket sins. And he mentions the story of the 10 lepers. Turn to Luke 17. And this provides a really, I think, appropriate setting to consider this issue of thanksgiving. Luke 17, starting from verse 11. While Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him, and they raised their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well." Now, on one hand, this is kind of a sad story. I mean, if you know anything about leprosy, especially at that time, that was a death sentence, especially in terms of any sort of social engagement. You were considered unclean. You had to stay outside of the village. You were not supposed to interact with anyone. So when these 10 lepers, and we find out that one of them is a Samaritan, so he's a half-breed. So not only does he have the stigma of being a leper, he's also a half-breed. So he's hated even more. These 10, they see Jesus. And by this time, everyone knows that if Jesus is around, what do? You ask him to heal you, especially if you're sick, because he heals. And so they say, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And Jesus just says, Go and show yourselves to the priest, because that's what you had to do in the Old Testament. If you were healed of leprosy, you had to go to the priest. He would examine you, and he would determine if you actually were healed or not, if you're cleansed of your leprosy. So the 10 of them, as they are going, it says they were cleansed. Okay, so they're healed. Out of 10, only one of them returns back to Jesus because he sees that he's been healed. And notice how it describes him. It says in verse 15, he's glorifying God with a loud voice. Now imagine if you've been healed by something. I mean, we could say something like terminal cancer. I mean, it's a death sentence. You're not going to recover. But then you're healed. Would your first response be that of glorifying God with a loud voice? And then he goes to Jesus and it says he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. Now this would make sense, right? I mean, if you've been healed something to this degree, you would hope someone would be thankful. But only one is thankful. Only one glorifies God. Only one goes back to Jesus. And so Jesus points this out. Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God? So what was at stake here? The glory of God. And that glorifying of God was manifested through being thankful. And it's interesting that in verse 16, it points out that he was a Samaritan. So it's almost as if we would not expect this from a Samaritan. Even more so. I mean, the Jews of all people, they should know better. They know the law. They know what they're supposed to do. You go to the priest. He declares you cleansed. You should be glorifying God because you are the people of God. Your immediate response should be to thank God. But they don't. And so when Jesus sees the Samaritan come, glorifying God, falling at his feet, giving thanks, he says, stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. So this is beyond just a physical healing. He is spiritually healed too. Because he glorifies God by giving thanks. So to be thankful really reflects a heart that is committed to glorifying God. It is the heart response to Jesus for all things. Now left to ourselves, in being sinful, it is very easy for us to be discontent, to act entitled, to complain. Many times we are quick to blame God for not doing things the way we want it, when we want it, how we want it. And in so doing, we refuse to give God glory. And that's a serious thing. God rightly deserves the glory. And one way that that is very clearly shown in our lives is when we're thankful. Now, look at all that's going on in our world today. It's crazy. Right, I mean, just we see the things going on. The recent fires, people lost everything. People died. People were killed. People were burned alive. You have shootings. You know, you have just so many things that go on that show us that life is very difficult. Now we have the holiday season coming, and you know what's really sad about the holiday season? Is that when we celebrate Thanksgiving or Christmas or whatever, some people look at these things simply as opportunities to take advantage of others. You know, in fact, during the fires, one of the first things that people were trying to do was to loot homes that have been abandoned. I mean, what kind of sick mind do you have when you think that people are dying, people are losing everything, and they see it as an opportunity to go rob someone? That's how crazy our world is. You know, and I saw posted recently, someone gave advice, if you need to get rid of things out of your home, put them in Amazon boxes and leave them on your front porch, because people will take them.
And I was like, huh, maybe I'll try that.
No, but see, that's what people just do that. I mean, people, there's a whole industry now of security cameras that have to look out for people just like that. How sad is that?
You know, there are so many people that would manifest their sinfulness, whether you say you're a Christian or not, by living a life that shows that you are not a grateful person, that you are not thankful. But we shouldn't be surprised. God's word says that it would be like this. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we looked at this passage recently too, says, but realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful. I mean, it's interesting that that word ungrateful is thrown into this list of other things. Now, it starts off with lovers of self. Lovers of self sets up the tone for all of this. Because, you know, if you're just all about loving yourself, you're not going to be a very thankful person. Because when you're in love with yourself and when it's all about me, all you have is expectation of how people are supposed to accommodate you, serve you, do things the way you want. You know, sometimes people, you might have a birthday party and someone brings you presents. There are some people who actually get upset at some people for the kind of present they bring. Like, how could you give me this present? Hello, it was a present. How do you complain about a present? Unless you are so self-absorbed that you make it all about you. I mean, it goes on. Unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. You know, when someone's ungrateful, the Greek word ungrateful in that passage there, there's a root word involved. It's the word grace. Someone who is ungrateful does not understand grace. In fact, we have said an ungrateful person is an ungracious person. Life is all about me. I live entitled to having things the way I want. And if I don't get it, I'm going to be upset. I mean, some people will be very straightforward and say, I'm upset because I didn't get what I wanted. You know, we should know better, especially if you're a Christian. We are undeserving of anything except hell and condemnation. That's what we deserve. It's only because the grace of God has been extended. You see, and when you have received grace, the appropriate response is to be thankful. If you are not thankful, it shows that you don't understand grace. You know, that's particularly seen in our relationships with people. And we're going to talk about this a little later, how a thankful heart is reflected in how we treat other people. But really, it goes back to the reason why we're not thankful even in our relationships with people is because we're not thankful to God. In Romans 1:21, it says this, "For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God, or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened." You know what happens when you don't want to honor God? It's paired with you also don't thank God. And when you don't thank God or honor God, what you're saying to God is, God, I could care less about what you think, about what you want. I want what I want. So then God says, okay, I will give you what you want. And that is, you're on your own. Go ahead. Live for yourself and see where it leads. And we see where it leads when people are left to themselves. They just go headlong into sin. You know, someone who doesn't know God is characterized by someone who doesn't honor Him or give thanks. You know what's really interesting is that during times of crisis or emergency, even people who say that they're not Christians will say, I'm going to pray to God that God would do something to intervene, which I think is a good thing. You should be praying. But then when things are resolved and when things happen, things take place, it's interesting that most people won't thank God for that. They'll thank anyone or everyone else and give them credit for things. Now, it's not to say people don't deserve acknowledgement. But when you think about, say, like the shootings that happen, and there's some crazy person that comes. I was reading about the one about the Thousand Oaks shooter. He was a ex-military guy, having a lot of issues, and he had frequented this one particular place, and he had a plan, went in, threw in tear gas, and then just started shooting people randomly. He doesn't know these people, really, and you think, that's crazy. But what we see out of that also is that there were some people who were willing to lay down their lives. You know, there are folks that are willing to take shots on behalf of other people. Where does that come from, to even think that way? You know, do we realize that we have God to thank for, that there are such people who would think in such a way as to save other people's lives? When we consider God's grace shown to us, do you realize that God gives grace even to people who are ungrateful? Luke chapter 6, verse 35 says, and this is Christ speaking, but love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. And so Jesus, when he's talking to those who are the kingdom, says, you know what? You should lend, expecting nothing in return. Why? Because your reward will be great. Because you are sons of the Most High. You are citizens of the kingdom because you know God. And you know that God is kind to ungrateful people. Therefore, we can be kind to ungrateful people too. That's the point. To be characterized by thankfulness, but gratitude is to reflect a heart that has been completely overwhelmed by the loving kindness and grace of God in Christ. Romans 6, 17 and 18, Paul says, but thanks be to God. You see, he had a thankful heart even in looking at his salvation, that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. Having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. You know, if you say that you have been saved by Christ, that you've been freed from sin, is your first response, thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Paul uses that phrase often. Thanks be to God. We should also be giving thanks that God is working in us in the process of sanctification to keep freeing us from sin. Turn to Romans chapter 7, starting from verse 21. Says, I find then that the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good, for I joyfully concur with the law of God in inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, when Paul shares about the struggle of sanctification, what does he say? He says, you know, who's going to deliver me from this struggle? And he says again, thanks be to God. God is the one who does that. Now, Thanksgiving is coming up. I'm sure many of you have plans. It's probably the time that we eat the most, from Thanksgiving to Christmas, right? And it's okay. It's good. I mean, it's good food. Thankful for it. I'm not particularly a turkey person. I prefer steak on Thanksgiving. You know, it's just like that for some people. But, you know, we have good food. But before you think about the food, I want to ask you to ask yourself this question. If I'm celebrating Thanksgiving, how thankful a person am I? Now, stop thinking about other people who are not thankful. Okay? You're like, there's some people who are so not thankful. Stop it! Okay? Ask yourself first. Are you a thankful person? I want to really challenge you today to consider, do you choose to have a thankful heart toward God? Because A thankful heart has tremendous consequences on your relationships with people in a good way. And likewise, an unthankful heart, a heart that is ungrateful, will also have tremendous consequences in your relationships with other people. The Bible speaks so much about giving thanks. And I want to particularly focus on the book of Psalms. The Psalms talks about thanksgiving all throughout. And I also want to highlight the life of Paul, because Paul is a very thankful person. And it really defines him. Jerry Bridges, in his book Practice of Godliness, describes how some Christian virtues reflect the character of God, and other virtues acknowledge and exalt the character of God. Thankfulness is that second one. It's when we acknowledge and exalt the character of God. Is thankfulness something that characterizes you so much that people can't help but see that you're a thankful person? That it exudes from you. That it just naturally flows from you. That you're willing to say thank you for every little thing. You know, one of the things, you know, we taught our girls, or actually I really emphasized with our gals growing up, is you should thank your mom every time she cooks for you. Because, you know, there are some moms that can't cook. And they've been to some homes where the moms are not good cooks, right? So they come back to like, Mom, thank you, thank you. You don't take that for granted. You even just one meal, every meal, you should say thank you. I still say thank you, Nash. And especially sometimes when I don't get to eat home-cooked food for a while, because, you know, I have meetings and I'm out, and, you know, it's okay, but sometimes you just want, like, home-cooked food. And it's simple. It's straightforward, but it's so good. I'm like, thank you. Thank you. I'm so thankful just for this simple meal. But that really flows out of a heart that shows that you are thankful to God. There are two particular passages, you know, that I want to challenge you that are foundational. And first, turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. So these two passages are going to be foundational passages that we're going to build off then with the Psalms, and then we're going to illustrate with the life of Paul. Ephesians 5, starting from verse 18. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your hearts to the Lord. Verse 20, here's the key part. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. So the command in verse 18 is be filled with the Spirit. And as you are submitting yourself to that command, it's going to be manifested. Your obedience to that command is going to be shown in different ways. First, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Second, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. And then third, always giving thanks for all things. Now, it says always. What does always mean? Always. Not some ways. Not partly ways. Not 99.9%. Always give thanks. But it also says, always giving thanks for all things. What are all things? All things. Now, sometimes people are a little confused by this. They're like, well, does all really mean all? Yes. My question to you is, what is it that you want to find a loophole with? Now, we want to be careful. I mean, we're not saying, well, you know, some people say, well, should I thank God for Satan? I don't know about saying thank you, God, for Satan directly, but you could be thankful even for the kind of role that Satan plays in your life in a very weird way. It's perspective. But it's not because of Satan. It's because of God that you could be thankful. Thankful. If you are a Spirit-filled Christian, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, walking in the Holy Spirit, you are going to manifest that by being someone who always gives thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the qualifier there, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one who sets the perspective for you to be able to give thanks always in all things. You can't do that apart from Christ. John MacArthur says this in his commentary. To be thankful always is to recognize God's control of our lives in every detail as he seeks to conform us to the image of his Son. To be thankless is to disregard God's control, Christ's lordship, and the Holy Spirit's filling. Nothing must grieve the Holy Spirit so much as the believer who does not give thanks. In King Lear, Shakespeare wrote, "Ingratitude, thou marble-hearted fiend, how sharper than a serpent's tooth it is to have a thankless child." Now, that's something you get to see a lot of times. Little kids who are not grateful. I remember watching some video of little kids being given vegetables to eat. And it's hilarious because they react in such a strong way. You know, they start gagging. You know, they don't even put it in their mouth. They're like, you know, they get angry. They throw a fit over vegetables. You know, when God brings trials and difficulties into our lives, and our first reaction is to complain and grumble, you know, what we show by that is we question his wisdom. We often question, "God, do you even love me?" We question his sovereignty. And so the question is, how do you view Christ ultimately? Do you really submit to him as your Lord and Savior? Do you trust that he actually is in control? That he has a good purpose in all things for your life? You know, if you have a Christ-centered perspective toward life, that actually allows us to give thanks always in all things, because we see that everything in life is not just about making my life easier, convenient, but God is working all things together for good. Romans 8:28. And if I really believe that, even if the circumstance or the person or the issue, even though that in itself might even be a bad thing, even evil thing, there are evil people in the world. There are people who are just crazy. Like, we were driving to church here today, and you know, we tried to make a left turn, getting onto the freeway out in Santa Clarita, and there were two cars in front of me. The first one was waiting to make a left turn because other cars were coming. The car right behind it decided to just go make a left turn right behind and almost got hit by an oncoming car. And we're watching this. It's almost like a movie scene, you know, just like, and we're thinking, what are they doing? I mean, do they want to die? Here's someone who is absolutely, that they don't care about anyone except themselves. They can't wait 5 seconds for another car to go. You're like, why would you do that? Why would you risk your life? That's how some people think. They don't care about anyone or anything else. They just want to go where they want to go, when they want to get there. I mean, is it going to kill you to wait a few seconds? But ask, how about me? Have I ever done that? Have I ever been so insistent that I get my way when I want it, and when other people don't accommodate me, when people are not making life easy for me, I go ahead and act rashly? I say rash things. I treat people in a mean way. So that's the first foundational, Ephesians 5. Second is 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. It says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Now this is, at first glance, it looks pretty straightforward, but in actuality, this is hard to do. Rejoice always? What does always mean? Hello? So when are you supposed to rejoice? Like now, always, now, and now, and now. Pray without ceasing. So what are you praying? now and now, without ceasing. And then it says, in everything, give thanks. Now, does everything mean everything? Are you sure? Does it really mean some things? Or not everything? I think it's interesting. Everyone has a hermeneutic here, okay? You have your science of interpretation of the Bible. You have a way of interpreting things, and it really is reflective a lot of times of the agenda that you want to impose on Scripture. We call that eisegesis, okay? You're injecting things into the text so you interpret things that accommodate the way you want it to say things versus exegesis, which is to draw out of the text. A lot of times we'll look at a verse like this and go, well, do I really have to give thanks in everything? Well, look at the phrase right after that. For this is whose will? Whose will? Who? God. Okay, who's God? Not me. Okay, not me. But practically speaking, I think this is how we act. I will give thanks when it's my will to give thanks. And when it's my will, I give thanks because it's good for me, the way I see it. And if it's not good for me, I'm not going to give thanks. I'm not going to give thanks in everything. That is not my will. God's will is to give thanks in everything. So we shouldn't be celebrating Thanksgiving for just one day. We should be celebrating Thanksgiving every day, even every moment. So how do you do that? How do you have a thankful attitude every moment? Two things. First, thank God. Thank God. Now, ask yourself this question. How often do you say thank you to God during a day? And if you do, what do you thank Him for? Most of us, if we're honest, we tend to be anxious about a lot of things. We're anxious about things working out the way we want, when we want, how we want. But then when it does work out, do you thank God? But here's another question. Are you able to thank God when things don't work out the way that you hope for? Jerry Bridges, he defines thankfulness in this way. Thankfulness to God is a recognition that God in His goodness and faithfulness has provided for us and cared for us both physically and spiritually. It is a recognition that we are totally dependent on Him. All that we are and have comes from God. Now, if there was any group of people that should have understood what it meant to be thankful to God, it should have been the Israelites, right? I mean, you just look at the history, the story of the Israelites in the Old Testament. Now, did they go through some hard times? Yes, they did. They went through slavery. How do you thank God in the midst of slavery? There are some good times. There are some bad times. Remember the time of the judges? During the time of the judges, there's crazy stuff going on. How do you show thanksgiving during times like that? Maybe it was easy to give thanks when David and Solomon were reigning. Because David conquered everyone. Solomon, you know, was able to enjoy just all the riches and the fruit of that. But how about when the nation was disobedient and went into captivity? Well, this is why I think the book of Psalms is so helpful. Various psalms are written during times when there was difficulty and hardship. But you see the attitude of the psalmist. Now, I'm just going to read through a bunch of the psalms. So I don't know if you're going to be able to follow along on your electronic ones, but just keep following, okay? Because there's a bunch of psalms I'm going to challenge you to consider. Psalm 7:17 says, I will give thanks to the Lord according to His righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Now, you're often going to see thanks, giving thanks, and singing paired together. There's something about singing and giving thanks that goes together. And here it's, He gives thanks to the Lord because of His righteousness. Psalm 9:1, I will give thanks to the Lord with All my heart, I will tell of all your wonders. You know, Thanksgiving's meant to be wholehearted. Why? Because you see all the things that God does. The wonderful things that he does. Psalm 18:49. Therefore, I will give thanks to you among the nations, O Lord, and I will sing praises to your name. You know, one of the testimonies of a missionary spirit is that you would give thanks before the nations. That as you would go represent Christ, do you show a thanksgiving to God that shows that there's something about you that's different? Thanksgiving is really at the heart of missions. Psalm 30, verse 4, sing praise to the Lord, you godly ones, and give thanks to his holy name. You see this mentioned often in the Psalms. Give thanks to his holy name in reference to who God is, his holiness. Psalm 30, verse 12, that my soul may sing praise to you and not be silent, O Lord my God. I will give thanks to you forever. You know, if there's one thing that we're going to be doing for all eternity, it will be to be giving thanks. Psalm 33, verses 1 and 2, sing for joy in the Lord, O you righteous ones. Praise is becoming to the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Sing praises to him with a harp of 10 strings. There's even something mentioned here about using musical instruments to give thanks to God. I mean, I thank God for our praise team, that what they're doing is leading us in giving thanks to God. You know, for those of you who took those music and piano lessons when you were young and you hated it, I hated it. I did. I didn't practice. I made my violin teacher miserable. I really regret that. I remember the first time I started learning guitar, it was because I wanted to sing praise songs. And I was so motivated. I practiced like 2-3 hours a day till I got, you know, the calluses in my fingers. And I just wanted to be able to use that. And it was something that I wish I had a better attitude toward before. Psalm 35:18, I will give you thanks in the great congregation. I will praise you among a mighty throng. Giving thanks is something that's supposed to happen corporately. You know, that's why I do this often with you as a church family. I say, what are you thankful for? And tonight, that's what we're going to be doing. It's actually commanded. It's not just a nice idea. It's not just a group bonding sort of activity. This is meant to be something that manifests worship to God. We do it together. Psalm 44:8, in God we have boasted all day long, and we will give thanks to your name forever. So you're going to see a lot of repeats here. Giving thanks to his name, his holy name, giving thanks forever. Psalm 45:17, I will cause your name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore, the peoples will give you thanks forever and ever. Here's one good thing to consider as a parent. Are you passing on to the next generation, your children? Do you pass on an example of giving thanks? You cultivate that. Psalm 52:9. I will give you thanks forever because you have done it, and I will wait on your name, for it is good in the presence of your godly ones. Do you give thanks to God because God is the one who accomplishes the good things in your life? Psalm 54:6, willingly I will sacrifice to you. I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, for it is good. And I think one of the things that we are so quick to do is to stop giving thanks. And it might really be because it reflects your heart attitude toward God. Do you believe God is good? Or do you question it? Psalm 57:9, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your loving kindness is great to the heavens and your truth to the clouds. You're going to see this mentioned often in the Psalms. The psalmist says, I give thanks to the Lord for your loving kindnesses endure forever. When you think of God's loving kindness, does it result in thanks? Psalm 75:1, we give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your name is near. You know, there's something about God's name, it's often referred to. especially in the Old Testament, when God tells his people, you need to not take my name in vain. It's a holy name. It represents who I am. But when you consider God's name, do you give thanks? Especially when you see these references to how God is named in different ways. And it's all meant to communicate something to us so that we might give thanks. Psalm 79:13, so we, your people, and the sheep of your pasture will give thanks to you forever. To all generations we will tell of your praise. You know, when you see God as your great shepherd and taking care of you. Now, sometimes life can be a little rough. You know, I remember, you know, back when we were in Maryland, and we actually were in very dire straits. And Jenna and Kara wouldn't remember this because they were pretty small. But, you know, we lost everything. We lost our home. We were homeless. We had to live in someone's basement. And it was humbling, and it was very a difficult time. And during that time, it was hard to know how to see all of that. It was like, God, what's going on? God, why are these people so messed up? God, why are people so cruel? God, I don't understand. God, I don't understand why we're losing everything. You know, and now I have a wife and two kids on top of that. I got to figure out what to do. And I remember staying in this one little room at a church member's home. And Jenna and Kara were actually really happy because they got to do something that they never got to do. And that's sleep in the same room with mom and dad. Because that's one rule I always had. Okay. We got your own room. You stay in your room. Okay? You do not come crawling into our bed. Sometimes they would manage to do that once in a while. And I'd take them back. They'd be all sad. But then for about a month or so, we sleep in the same room. They're so happy. They were actually thankful in the midst of difficult circumstances. And I think sometimes that's why when you have sort of that childlike attitude, when you can actually be thankful. You know, it's like when you get a little kid a present and they play with the box instead of the toy. And you're like, what in the world? Like, I spent all this money on a toy. You just wanted a box. I could have just picked that out of the trash. But they're thankful for like a box. I mean, it's all perspective. Psalm 86:12. I will give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with all my heart and will glorify your name forever. That is so key to see. Thanking God and glorifying Him go together. If you are not thankful, you are not glorifying God. That's a huge issue, I think, for a lot of people. In verse 13, it says, for your loving kindness toward me is great, and you have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. That's why you can give thanks. God has shown you loving kindness. If anything, He has saved you from hell. And you can thank Him for that each and every day. Psalm 92:1, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness by night. You know, what a great way to look at the day. Say, God, in the morning, I'll thank you because I look forward to your loving kindnesses that are going to be new for me this day. And at the end of the day, I'm going to say, thank you, God, because you have been faithful. From morning to night, I have reason to be giving thanks. Psalm 97:12, be glad in the Lord, you righteous ones. Give thanks to His holy name. Psalm 100, and this is a really great psalm when we think about it as a corporate church reading. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. And then it says this in verse 4. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him, bless His name. For the Lord is good, His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness to all generations. Now, sometimes life is difficult. It is. And it's easy to get hung up on the dark stuff. The question is this. Do you trust and believe that God is good? Now, I'll tell you, there are times I've wondered that. I've wondered that, especially as a pastor, serving at a church with people who say that they're Christians and finding out that there's some people who are very cruel. They say they're Christians, but they're really cruel. And I don't know how that computes. I'm not saying I'm perfect either. I'm just saying when someone who says they're a Christian acts in such a contrary way, I'm not sure what to do with that. I don't understand. Better if you just say you're not a Christian and just get a sword and chop off my head, and I'd say, I understand. But if you're a Christian and you're acting like this, I don't understand. Because there should be something about you being characterized with an understanding of the loving kindness of God. And that He is faithful. You know, that's one of the reasons why we come together to celebrate that, to remind each other of that. Because sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we go through a season where it's hard. It's difficult. That's why we do need each other corporately, to remind each other to be thankful. Psalm 105, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing to Him. Sing praises to Him. Speak of all His wonders. Glory in His holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. I mean, do you see how often being thankful, singing, and glorifying God go hand in hand? Psalm 106, verse 1, praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Again, a focus on who God is, to acknowledge who He is. It says the same thing in Psalm 107, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Psalm 108, verse 3, I will give thanks to You, O Lord, among the peoples, and I will sing praises to You among the nations. Again, our testimony before the world should be one that says, I thank God. I thank God. Okay, there's too many. I'm just having to skip over some here. Psalm 118, verse 21, I shall give thanks to You, for You have answered me, and You have become my salvation. You know, again, if there's one thing that you can be thankful for each and every day, it's to say, thank You, God, for saving me. Thank You, God, for saving me. Psalm 118, verse 28, You are my God, and I give thanks to You. You are my God, I extol You. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Psalm 119, 7, I shall give thanks to You with uprightness of heart when I learn Your righteous judgments. Verse 62 of Psalm 119, at midnight I shall rise to give thanks to You because of Your righteous ordinances. You know, do you give thanks to God for His word? That's an interesting thing to do. Wake up at midnight and say, thank You, God, for Your word. Guys, like remember the guys who were doing the Bible reading? Okay, the last 8 weeks, they finished. Most of the guys actually finished the Bible in 8 weeks. Isn't that crazy? They're like, you know, you try to do that for a year and some people die, like at Exodus 20, right? They actually did it. But can you imagine getting up and saying, thank You, God, for Your word? I mean, most people look at the Bible like, God, did it have to be so long? I mean, God, why Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy? I mean, Deuteronomy, it's like, again, it's the law again. Wasn't it enough one time? I mean, you could have just said, ditto. And we got to read it again? I mean, can you say, God, thank You for Deuteronomy? In fact, when Jesus is being tempted by the devil, and He responds to the three temptations with three quotes from what book? Deuteronomy. Try memorizing Deuteronomy. Okay? No, that's a good book to memorize because Jesus evidently thought so. That's how He combated temptation. Psalm 136, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the God of gods, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His loving kindness is everlasting. When you see something repeated that often, what should you think? It's something to be thankful for. I mean, the psalmist is saying this pretty often. His loving kindness is everlasting. In fact, Psalm 136, by the time you hit verse 26, the end, it ends with, give thanks to the God of heaven, for His loving kindness is everlasting. I mean, try praying that once. Just saying, God, thank you for your loving kindness is everlasting. Your loving kindness to me will last forever. No one will ever take that away. No matter what happens in my life, I have your loving kindness. I will have it forever. Meditate on that. Psalm 138, verse 1, I will give you thanks with all my heart. I will sing praises to you before the gods. I will bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your loving kindness and your truth. One more. Psalm 140, verse 13. Surely the righteous will give thanks to your name. The upright will dwell in your presence. Let's put it this way. If you say you worship God, what should really be at the heart of your worship is thanksgiving. Thanksgiving reflects the heart of one who loves God. Thanksgiving dwells especially on the name of God and all that God is represented through his names. Thanksgiving celebrates the loving kindness of God. Thanksgiving is the appropriate response to the truth of God's word. You see, that's why there's so much to be thankful for. And you can be showing thanksgiving always, in all things, at all times. If you don't have thanksgiving, let me ask you this then. How do you pray in a way that truly acknowledges who God is? William Henderson, he says this, when a person prays without thanksgiving, he has clipped the wings of prayer so that it cannot rise. Maybe our problem is not so much about God not hearing our prayers. It's that our prayers are not really even prayers. They're complaints. You know, so often we're telling God what to do and God what to give me. And we don't express thanksgiving. You know, that's like a little kid coming up to parents and just saying, hey, what have you done for me lately? I mean, as a parent, you'd say, I bore you. I raised you. I changed all your diapers. I fed you. I took you to the doctor when you were sick. I give you food every day. I put clothes on your body. What have I done for you lately? Really? I mean, is that what it is? You should be thanking God that you're alive. Could have just left you on the street. Fend for yourselves. Go eat some bugs. No, I mean, you know what's scary these days when you see little kids? There's like no shame. There's no shame in sin. You know, I was at the UCLA-USC game. I was going to mention it at some point. And I'm wearing my UCLA tie. I celebrate. I haven't worn this tie a long time because UCLA hasn't won in a while. So I can celebrate. So I was really happy, and I've never actually been to the game when UCLA won, so I was really happy, and Angela was there, and Alyssa and Livia were there, and you know, there's some other friends of ours that were there we got to see. And so I was happy. And yeah, if you saw, I posted all sorts of things about UCLA winning. But you know what left a really sour note? Was as we're leaving, all the UCLA students are using some bad language against USC. You know, and you know, that just to me was like, you know, that was just so unnecessary. But the biggest thing was there's no shame. It's they're using the worst words. And I'm like, why? Like, why? Why do you gotta do that? Why do you have no shame in using such bad language? I don't care if it's competitive or not. That's uncalled for. That's just wrong. I think that really stems from a heart that one doesn't want to glorify God, nor honor God, but nor thank God. Okay, some application points. In an outline, I put thank people. And I think more appropriately, I would say, thank God for how he uses people in your life. So in a sense, you could thank people. Like, see all these people around you? You could actually go up to them and say, thank you for who you are in my life. And I want to give you three kind of ways to look at people. Okay, it's not comprehensive, but I think this will be helpful. First, you can be thankful for the people
who are actually a blessing to you, who are kind and caring, compassionate, who are loving? Isn't it nice to have people who are actually that way? Oh man, I am so thankful, especially for you as a church family. So many of you have been so kind, and so many have shown that in even very tangible ways. I was, you know, getting my girls a Starbucks drinks this morning because someone was kind to give me a Starbucks card. You know, it's a blessing to me that I can then pass on as a blessing to other people. I think people know that I love sports, so some people have been so kind to just get me tickets to go to sporting events. Thank you. I'm so thankful for things like that. Probably one big thing that I'm so thankful for are the notes that people write. You know, I've told people I keep all of those. I even have boxes filed alphabetically. I know how many people have written how many notes. Don't worry, I'm not measuring you. I'm not comparing you. But some people take more time to do that kind of thing. And I wish I was more of that kind of a person too to other people. But there are some people who really are such a blessing in that way. You should be thankful. You can't take that for granted. God is gracious and merciful to provide such people. God has been so good to me to provide friendships and people who've just shown in very real ways, not just even tangibly, but through prayers and through their care. That's one group. You definitely should be thankful for those people. The second group, you should be thankful for people who are in process. Okay, now what do I mean by that? You ever see some people and you're kind of like, they're kind of strange. I don't get them. Like, I don't understand how they work. Like, you know, sometimes you try to talk with someone and they're like, you don't understand what they're saying. And you're trying to understand and you're just like, I don't get them. But there's someone in process. There's someone, they're growing, they're learning. You know, sometimes you have to be patient with people in process. But you know what God is doing with those people in your life? He's helping you learn what it means to be patient, to be loving, to be caring, to be thoughtful and considerate about where they're coming from as opposed to you just imposing your expectations on them. Are you thankful for the people that are in process that God has put into your life? You know, those are like the guys that sometimes ask me to disciple them. You know, over the years, people have come and asked me, Pastor John, can you disciple me? And I'd say, okay, sure. And that usually means we'll read a book. I remember at one time I was meeting three guys, reading three different books, and I was thinking, like, I'm killing myself over this. So after a while, I was like, no more books. Okay? We'll meet for like 3 months, and you got to be transparent with me, and I'm going to kick your butt. Okay? I'm just going to tell you what you need to hear. And if you can't handle that, I'm sorry. I don't have time to mess around with people who are going to say, I'm still struggling with my quiet time for the last 20 years. Something's wrong then, okay? I don't get it. You know, do you really want to grow or not? Okay, now that's a little harsh. Okay, so sometimes I've had to apologize. So I'm sorry. A little harsh. I mean, I've been pretty tough on some guys. You know, some guys I just like, do you even want this? Are you even a Christian? Like, do you even care? Yeah, and they get really hurt. I'm sorry. That was not very loving. I need to be more patient with people like that. Now there's a third group. The third group's the hard group. These are the people that make your life miserable. Okay? These are the people who have the spiritual gift of making your life miserable. Like, they have no qualms about it. Okay? They have absolutely no shame. They could care less about you. They will say anything they want, or they will ignore you whenever they want. I mean, they will do anything and everything to show that they absolutely don't care about you. That they maybe even hate you. You can thank God for those people too. And you're like, how? How? Those are the people that we call enemies, you could say. And I remember Jesus said something about this. He goes, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. And you're like, why would you do such things?
You know, if there's one thing that being put in a place where you suffer for your faith, what it does is it helps really refine whether you truly love God or not. And God actually uses people to help you see that. Because sometimes a life that's just comfortable, a life that's just easy, you take God for granted. And sometimes when you have to go through the hardships and the trials of life, I think this is what I've been learning and still am learning, to say thank you, God, even for those difficult people. Because God is using them to refine me, to help me see Christ as more precious. Because sometimes I don't see him as precious. I don't. And I would dare say that some of you don't see him as precious either. You take him for granted. And then when trials come and difficulties come, you're more quick to blame God for that rather than to see God's actually trying to show you something about your heart. You know, that's one of the things. There's so much more that we could look at in terms of what the Bible has to say about being thankful. One of the things that Paul does as he's praying for the churches, like there's a couple prayers in Ephesians, there's a prayer in Thessalonians and Colossians, and he says, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. I'm praying in light of what God has done in you and through you, and I'm praying that God would help you grow. Paul takes time to thank even those who are fellow workers in the ministry. Romans 16:3, he says, greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who for my life risk their own needs, to whom not only do I give thanks. He gives thanks for them. In Philippians, you know, Paul says, I give thanks for my every remembrance of you to the Philippian church. He constantly is cultivating a thankful heart toward people. And even in Philippians, which is a pretty positive book for the most part, he's able to say he rejoices always. You could say that even as he highlights the certain lives of people, he even gives thanks that the gospel is being preached by people who have selfish ambition. That's crazy. Because he says, you know what? All I care is that the gospel goes out. I mean, that's the kind of heart. You know, and when I look at the life of the Apostle Paul, he suffered so much. But one of the things that he constantly shows in his writings is he says, thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. He's always thanking God despite even the hardships. So I want to challenge you as you go to Thanksgiving this week. And even as we take communion right now, I ask you to bow your heads.